Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from First Presbyterian Church of Allentown. This Advent and Christmas season, we are exploring a special series inspired by a sanctified art. So join us as we ask ourselves, what do you fear? This is a word for all of us in Advent. In a season of waiting, we are not asked to suppress fear, but to face it. To ask, how does fear live in me? What voices has it amplified? What longings has it silenced? Advent invites us not simply to be not afraid, but to act with love in the midst of fear. Not to fix everything, but to show up with courage. Let us believe with trembling hope that fear does not have the last word. Because fear doesn't stop us. Love leads us forward. Those beautiful words were written by the Reverend Dr. Boyoung Lee, a guest writer from A Sanctified Art for this Advent series.
Friends, we are reminded of the light of Christ. And so tonight, as we light that light, we do so in a responsive prayer. Please join with me. In a fearful world, where do you see the presence of God? We see God's fingerprints all around us. We see God in the beauty of the stars. We see God in the love of this community. We see God in the dreams we hold for a better world. You are right. Even in a fearful world, God is here. God is all around us. On this holy night, we light the Christ candle as a reminder of this good news. May this flicker of light help us remember that even in a fearful world, God's love is all around us.
Please pray with me. God of light, you have revealed your very self to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Your one word made flesh, who lived among us, full of grace and truth. Open us to your revelation once again, that in the words of your Holy Scripture, we might know your presence and follow in your light always. Amen. Our scripture reading comes this evening from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the late 1990s and early 2000s, there was a TV show on the Learning Channel called A Baby Story. I hope I'm not the only one who watched it. All righty, thank you. We got a few. Thank you. It was a 30-minute documentary-style show, and I use the word documentary pretty loosely in that sentence. It would feature a family preparing to welcome a new baby. Each episode included interviews with parents and grandparents, siblings and friends. Usually there was a doctor visit for one of the prenatal checkups. And then there was always some little extra feature. It might be different for each episode that would highlight the preparations or celebrations that might be taking place in anticipation of this birth. And then finally, at the end of the episode, there was a significantly edited footage of the birth in the hospital, usually. When watching this show religiously, which I did, even going home for lunch when I was pregnant with my own children to see what things were going to be like, one of my favorite features was when the soon-to-be parents would walk the audience through how they were packing their hospital bag. It feels a little bit silly now, but I loved watching what things people chose for comfort or what they threw in to keep themselves occupied just in case it was taking a while or what they had to listen to on iPods those days before the iPhone. What they carried along for religious devotion or what clothes they wanted the baby to wear to come home. You could learn so much about a person, about what was important to them as they packed that suitcase. Their likes and dislikes, of course, but really, if you paid attention, it was all more about their hopes and their fears, their worries and excitements, their longings and their joys, the things they gathered to take with them for this momentous occasion. That hospital bag was the sign of ultimate preparation, ultimate readiness. Everything that would be needed to birth and care for a newborn was tucked into a small rollerboard suitcase and put next to the door for when the time came for them to deliver their child. There is no hospital bag in the gospel according to Luke. Mary didn't have a playlist queued up, and while older versions of the Bible, the Revised Standard or the King James or even the Charlie Brown Christmas special talk about swaddling cloths, more accurate translations tell us that Jesus was wrapped in bands of cloth. Swaddling clothes or blankets are the kind of thing expectant parents might put in a hospital bag, meticulously picked out to match the color of the nursery walls, or maybe some family hand-me-downs so the baby is wrapped in the same blanket their siblings were when they came home. Everything pre-washed with fragrance-free laundry soap, carefully folded, rolled up, tucked inside. Swaddling clothes bring to mind those kinds of careful preparations. Everything the birth of Jesus did not have. from the angelic disruptions of Mary and Joseph's betrothal and engagement to the mid-pregnancy visit with Elizabeth, from the burden of a trip to Bethlehem in the last trimester to the less than luxurious birthing suite she was given. Strangers showing up after visiting hours. No one was prepared for what God was really up to. The world Jesus was born into and the way he was born into it, both the immediate world of his two parents accepting this unexpected pregnancy and the larger world of the occupying Roman Empire represented by the governor in the story. It was kind of a mess, that world. It's hard, if not impossible, for people to really plan in that kind of a mess. There's no way they were neatly packed, all cotton swaddling blankets on hand when that baby came, but bands of cloth. Those were lying around, maybe for wiping down the animals or for cleaning up hands after feeding them. I imagine there were plenty of bands of cloth. This scene is nowhere near as picturesque as our family creche or a modern newborn photo shoot, but I actually think this scene is better that way. Because today, that mess can feel familiar. The current residents of the very geography we are playing in our mind's imagination, they are living with uncertainty and fear that comes with a fragile ceasefire. Vulnerable members of our own community live in fear that at any moment the other shoe might drop and their access to food or shelter or employment or freedom will be cut off. Any number of us might be facing disruptions in our own lives, scary new diagnoses from the doctor or the unexpected death of a loved one. A strained relationship or unfulfilled dreams, financial challenges, the kinds of challenges that thwart even the best laid plans and most meticulous preparations. The noise all of that can create in our fearful minds and our hearts can be close to overwhelming. But the way that Jesus came into the world, the way that God chose to be revealed and take on flesh and define what salvation would look like, it more than meets our moment. The good news that the angels sang on a hillside in Bethlehem is louder than the fear our circumstances might stir up. The one who is born to save the world. He didn't come when everything was going just right. He didn't arrive when everyone was getting along, when things were going according to plans, when the world and everyone in it was experiencing healing and wholeness and peace. He came when things were too chaotic to grab the hospital bag on the way out the door, when there wasn't room or time to get everything set up just right. He came when things were a mess. And into that mess, he brought grace and peace and hope for a new creation. In the middle of every mess that tugs at our heart or our faith, we have the promise of a baby born in the middle of it all. God was not so precious that God couldn't come in the middle of our mess. He's not just any baby. He's the baby who carries God's will, who demonstrates God's righteousness, who shares God's grace and mercy in the world. And in the middle of our messes, we have the words of angels who reassure us again and again, do not be afraid. This is good news. We have the promise that God shows up right when nothing is going the way we thought, and God will face every obstacle with us. These are good tidings of great joy. This is the joyful strain of the good news that is louder than fear. And it is for all people this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.